Sim, amanhã deverás me lazer. Ai, ai, ai,
ai. Mas é isso, já. Mas é web, não é? I'm always here. My heart is always here.
Amen.
You were back there singing for each other, right? Like the hips.
Ira, 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 ira All right, I will say good evening. Good evening. A great schos baruch Hashem to be here tonight, learning the Hele Gitar of the Piyajetzna, the month of Kislev. Baruch Hashem, so much kedusha, so much light, and so much potential beauty in this world. And Yeres Hashem, you and all the hardship and all the darkness and all the difficulty and all of the tzaras and all the adversity. Again, you can feel the light of Hanukkah, the light of Geula is yearning to burst forth. And Emir HaSashem, we baruch Hashem, not a day goes by that even with all of the difficulties that our people are currently undergoing, not a day goes by that there's not such a beautiful burst of luminescent light that comes out. And each little burst of light, each little piece of chizik is a little ray of Mashiach, a little ray of Geula. And this is the month. This is the month where incredible things happen. This is the month where the impossible becomes possible. This is the month when everything starts dark. But by the time we finish out this month, again, every home is illuminated with the most glorious and incredible light. And no one teaches us that lesson better than the Piaget himself. Right? The Rebbe, this is what he embodied. So, Rabbi, we're continuing today on page 56. And we're actually beginning tonight in Sif Vav. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So remember, bless you. So remember, in this section now, the Piyajetzna is really focusing on how to actually constitute the Chabura. Right? So in other words, we've gone through in the beginning of the Sefer exactly like what it means, to what we're supposed to accomplish, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it. But Lamaisa now, the Piyajetzna is much more focused on how the Chabura, how is the group itself supposed to be structured. So he's telling us about all the different things. So listen to this. Paragraph Vav begins with a very interesting idea. He says as follows, Tov sheyishtu mizman lizman mashke yachad.
There you go.
It's important to have a l'chaim. It's important to have a l'chaim, right? He says again, when the group gets together, it's good every once in a while. It doesn't have to be every time, the Piyajetzna says. Okay, some are machmir, right? Right? So the Piyajetzna says that when a group, when the Chabura B'nei Machshava Tova gets together, it's important that they make a l'chaim together. He says, but look what he writes. He says, lo lehishtaker u'lehol l'chasson. It doesn't mean chasson for excess. So, you know, again, one of the most beautiful things in Yiddishkeit is that we are not an ascetic religion. And we're taught that we could enjoy things, but we have to enjoy things responsibly. You could enjoy food, enjoy it responsibly. You can enjoy alcohol, enjoy it responsibly. You can enjoy anything in this world, but it just has to be enjoyed responsibly. So the Piyajetzna says it's important for the Chavura to make a l'chaim together, but not chas shalom for that l'chaim to lead to any type of, you know, frivolous type of unholy behavior. Look what he writes. Rak kidarkom shel hasidim kedei lehischaber yoseh yachad. Rather, again, it's just, we'll say, why is it that by the Hasidim, Al-Chaim is such a big thing? Right? You know, they said about the Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, Zechus Yagin Elena, right? The great Hele Rebbe. They asked the father of Levi Yitzchak, they said, how did you merit to have a son like Rabbi Levi Yitzchak? Right? What did you do? What did you do to have a son like Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev? So, you know, you could have imagined all the different answers he might have given. He said very simple. He said, in my shtender and shul, I always kept a little bit of kichel and a little bit of schnapps. And whenever there was someone new who walked into the shul, I would offer them a l'chaim. And in that zechus of just connecting to another Jew, that zechus of just bringing someone else closer, I had a son, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. I was saying, it's the power of a l'chaim, and this is why by the Hasidim, a l'chaim is such a big thing. The power of a l'chaim is sometimes a little l'chaim breaks a tiny little l'chaim could break down the highest of walls. You know, there's a famous idea on Purim. On Purim, the Gemara Maseches Megillah says, "Mechayiv inish lebasumei bepuria, adelo yada bein arham lebarach Mordechai." Again, Purim and Chanukah are linked, so it's okay to say a vart on Purim in Kislev. So, right, the Gemara says a person is obligated to drink on Purim until they don't know the difference between blessed is Mordechai and cursed is Haman. Right? Baruch Mordechai Ara Haman. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So some interpret it literally that a person is supposed to get drunk, just drunk on Purim, until they don't understand anything. Their problem is, if you don't understand Haman and Mordechai, you know, we know it in Halach, you know what they call that, that level of drunkenness? They call that lot drunk. Right? What does it mean to get lot drunk? Lot drunk means you're so drunk that you can't even distinguish between good and bad. Right? And that is usher. That is unequivocally usher and has no place within Yiddishkeit at all. So what does it mean? So some of the Sfarim bring down a very beautiful idea. They say in life, everyone has their Mordechais and their Hamans. Right? Who are my Mordechais? My Mordechais are the people that I like. And who are my Hamans? The people I really dislike. So what's the goal of Purim? The whole goal of Purim is Achdus. The whole goal of every day is Achdus. But the whole goal of Purim is Achdus. But sometimes, you know, it's hard. It's hard to kind of make amends with someone who you really don't like. And it's hard to kind of feel a connection with someone who's maybe wronged you. So Chazal have a remedy for this. What's the remedy? Mechayiv ish l'asuvei poria. Drink a little bit on Purim. Drink a little bit on Purim. Until what? Until you don't know the difference between your enemies and your friends. Between your Hamans and your Mordechais. Meaning, sometimes a little l'chaim is all that's needed to turn an enemy into a friend. A little l'chaim is all that's needed in order to break down walls, break down barriers. And you see it, by the way, right? Let's say, you know, there's a big distinction between the way Jews drink and the nations of the world drink, right? Often you find by the nations of the world, they drink, and what happens? What happens? They fight, right? Jews drink, and what happens? Give it like 4 minutes, everybody's got their arms around each other, right? There's a kumzitz, there's hugging, there's crying, there's laughing, there's kissing, there's this, right? Everybody's the best friend. 2 minutes ago, we wouldn't talk to each other, right? 2 minutes ago, I would never in a million years dream of putting my arm around you. And now again, let's say, it's the power of a little l'chaim. It's a power of, see, we'll say, it's also, you know, just as an aside, why do we say l'chaim when we drink? Why do I say l'chaim when we drink? So, I'll tell you something interesting. Tamiyah ben Hagim brings down, he says, we say l'chaim because it used to be when the Sanhedrin, right, in Sanhedrin, the high court, was the only court that's empowered to hand down death sentences. So if somebody was sentenced to death, what they would do is, before they were taken out to be executed, the Beis Din would like ply them with alcohol. Right? Why? So that they shouldn't be aware of what was coming. Totally just like dull their senses so they shouldn't know what was about to happen. So when we drink, we say l'chaim. It shouldn't be viewed that we're going ahead and dulling our senses. Because, right, supposed to say sometimes people drink to escape. That's a very unhealthy process, of course. People drink to escape. They're trying to dull themselves. They're trying to numb themselves to something. That's not why you drinks. Why does he get drink? L'chaim. Because sometimes we'll say, you know, a little l'chaim kind of just helps me to focus and helps to shift my perspective a little bit to be able to see the good, to be able to see the beauty. But it could also, I will say that, what's the best part of life? The best, the most incredible thing in life is Achdus. It's the most incredible thing in this world is Achdus. Sometimes a little l'chaim, right, a little drink, gives you chaim, gives you life, gives you achdos. So the Rebbe says over here, as part of the avodah of the Bnei Machshava Tova, right, part of the Chabura, make a l'chaim. Make a l'chaim. The whole goal of this group is that people are supposed to feel connected to each other. That we're going to see this tonight, people are supposed to feel an achrayis, a responsibility for one another. People are supposed to look out for each other. All of these different things. So the Rebbe says sometimes a little l'chaim is helpful just to go ahead and kind of bring the group together. It's so beautiful. He says, furthermore, what else does a l'chaim do? This is incredible. Ula orer games nefesh behem yusa me'atzlusa. Listen to this. And what else does a l'chaim do? Well, listen to these words. A l'chaim also awakens the animalistic tendencies within a person. Well, now what does this mean? A person sometimes has what he calls the nefesh habehemius. About Tanya writes about this also. Right? What's the nefesh habehemius? That there are certain parts of us that are indistinguishable from the animal kingdom. Right? We sleep. We excrete waste. Right? We eat. We do a lot of things that animals do as well. What's interesting, I will say, is that the biggest part of us that is animalistic, the biggest part, is that animals are naturally at rest, like matter, right? Matter in general is at rest until it is acted upon. So animals also in the animal kingdom, right? When, you know, I'll say it's always interesting. You know, I think one of the biggest letdowns when you're a kid, right? What's one of the biggest letdowns when you're a kid? Biggest letdowns?
No Santa Claus.
Right, no, right. Wrong religion, but yeah, but again, but yeah, but I guess it depends how you grew up, right? But yeah. I maybe you could say no tooth fairy, but whatever, you know? So, God, yeah, you could just go with that one. I'll tell you, I was like, one of the biggest letdowns was like the first time you go to the zoo and you go to see the lion. And like, what are you expecting? Like, you're expecting he's going to be pouncing and praying and ripping stuff apart and roaring. And what is he doing? Sleeping. Right? And you can wait there. And you can wait there for a prolonged. And then even when he gets up, what does he do when he gets up? Like, verschleppzach. Right? It's like, nah. You're like, come on. Like this is the best lion you could get in the zoo. Like, this is the best. Like, what is it? This is like clearly like a tier B lion, right? This is a tier B. Like, you look at this guy, you're like, you would not survive in the wild for a minute, right? It's incredible. But why? Because just even the lion, the sort of see king of the jungle, when does he move? When does he move?
When activated.
Only when he has to. Only when he has to. Like, there's no unnecessary movements. See, I was saying, in life, it is so easy to fall into the animalistic tendency. That when do I move? When do I move? When I have to. When I have to. Let's say we know this. We all know changes that we have to make within our lives. But very often, we only make those changes when we have no choice but to make those changes. When we have to act. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. In other words, I can be proactive in making changes in life. I don't have to wait like until I'm at risk of losing my marriage, my life, my job, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to wait until the sky is about to fall before I actually take decisive, dynamic action. But it's the nefesh behemius. It's like a little bit of like the animal part of me that even though I could be the king of the jungle, I'm really like napping. I really just like kind of sitting there and not doing anything until I have to do it. So the Piyajasana says, you know what the nice part of a little l'chaim also is? Gets the juices flowing, right? In other words, like it just it wakes you up a little bit. It wakes you up a little bit. Obviously, too much alcohol could have the reverse effect. But a little l'chaim, that's what he's talking about, really, just like a little l'chaim has the ability to, in his words, to awaken the nefesh ha-behemia. So we'll say, I think you begin to see, by the way, in the Piyajasana's world, everything he tells us, like every detail, has so many layers of profound meaning, right? Otherwise, you could have just read this. The Piyajasana says, when you get together, make a l'chaim. Okay, move on.
Nice.
No, it's not it. It's not it. When you make a l'chaim, yeah, because let's say, when the Rebbe says, make a l'chaim, so the Chassid asks, okay, so Rebbe, why? What's in the l'chaim? And the Piyajasana says, oh, if only you knew how much there was in a l'chaim. What a l'chaim is able to accomplish, how l'chaim is able to bring down walls, how l'chaim is able to build bridges, how l'chaim is able to create relationships, how l'chaim is able to awaken a person from their lion-like slumber and stop being an animal and start being a person and start moving and start doing and start making the changes proactively instead of waiting for everything just simply to come tumbling down and I'm forced to act. All of that in one little l'chaim. All of that in one little l'chaim. Right? So you can never say l'chaim again without thinking all of these things. The power. And Rabbi said, we see it. When you make a l'chaim with a chaver, there's a different dynamic. And it's not, okay, it's the alcohol. It's not the alcohol. And I'm not talking about drinking so much chas v'shalom that a person is like out of their mind. Right? But again, the little l'chaim has this dramatic effect. He goes on, he says, now this is actually incredible. Very not 2024. He says, let's say someone doesn't drink, right? Let's say someone doesn't drink because they're too weak, chas v'shalom. Right, by the way, the chas v'shalom is another weakness. The chas v'shalom is that they don't drink, right? The chas v'shalom. Right? Let's say a person is just whatever. They don't drink. They don't drink because they're weak. Look what he writes. Yarav mayim mashkusam. The yishtayimayim yachad.
The rocks.
You need to make a l'chaim with the chevra. So water down your l'chaim. Right? Water down your l'chaim. Right? Go ahead. Pour water into it. Dilute it. The Piyajasana says, if the chevra is making a l'chaim, you can't not be a part of that. I was like, isn't that just the most beautiful thing you've ever heard, right?
No.
I'm saying, because understand what the Rebbe is saying. Whenever there's a chevra, that was it. Okay, one more maisa because you twisted my arm, right? There's a famous story. there's a famous story, ultimately again, about a chassid who went ahead and went to visit the Rebbe Yitzchak Berdichev. Right, he went to visit the Rebbe, and what had happened, and he went, it was actually, the story was by Rosh Hashanah. He went to visit the Rebbe on Rosh Hashanah, and he was already there a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. He wanted to get the Ksiv Hasim Tova from the Rebbe, and ultimately again, the Rebbe didn't see him. The Rebbe didn't see him. So what happens? So he kept going to the Rebbe day after day after day. I believe Yitzchak never had time to see him. So Rosh Hashanah goes by, and man doesn't get a chance to see the Levi Yitzchak. He's totally heartbroken. He sticks around some Gedalia. Still doesn't get to see the Rebbe. Okay, so what happens? He figures, okay, I spent all this time, but this, I have to get home. He has to get home for Yom Kippur. So he makes his way home, but he's very downtrodden. Very downtrodden. So what happened? We call him Yankel. So Yankel is on his way back. He stops in at an inn. Every good Hasidic Shemais involves an inn. Right? An inn. Stops by at the inn. And there's a whole group of Hasidim making their way to Berdichev. So they say, Yankel, why so sad? Why do you look so sad? So Yankel says to him, look, you know what? I went to Rabbi Yitzchak for Yantiv, and I just wanted a bracha from the Rebbe. I just wanted a Ksiva Chasim Tova, a good Kvench DR. That's all I wanted from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe didn't have time for me the whole time, and I'm so broken about it. So they said, Yankel, a Jew is not allowed to be Bitzar. A Jew has to be Besimcha. So what happened? They're all part of Lechayim, and each of them, they didn't make a Lechayim together. Each person in the inn said, Yankel, L'chaim. Yankel, L'chaim. Yankel, L'chaim. Each one after the other, after the other, after the other. So what happens? So by the after all those L'chaims, Yankel's feeling pretty good. Baruch Hashem. So the Hasidim say, you know what, Yankel, we're going to Berdichev. Come back with us. Yankel says, fine, I'll go with you. Yankel goes back to Berdichev. And who is there waiting for him by the entrance to the Beis Medrash? None other than the Heligot Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. The Rebbe runs over, Yankel, I'm so happy to see you. Baruch Hashem, thank you so much for coming. Yankel's a bit confused. He says, Rebbe, I was here. I was here before Hashanah. I was here on Rosh Hashanah. So what happened? What happened that you didn't see me? You didn't give me the time of day. Now, he says, Yankel, I'll tell you the truth. When I saw you, I saw that there was a terrible gizardin. There was a terrible decree against you for this year. You were going to die. And your family was going to suffer greatly. And I just couldn't bring it. And I knew that I could not reverse that gezeirah. I couldn't reverse the decree. And so I just didn't have it in my heart till I confront you about this. But Yankel, then you went to the inn. And Jew after Jew made a l'chaim to you. Right? And a l'chaim is a bracha. Right? When one yid says to another yid, l'chaim, that's a bracha. You're giving someone else a bracha. He says, Yankel, all of those brachos from those simple Jews that you received at the inn, that changed your decree for this year. What I couldn't do on my own, all of those simple Jews with their simple brachas of L'chaim changed your fate for the coming year. However, the power of L'chaim, the achdus it creates, the bracha gives, and therefore again, the piyajesna says, you don't like to drink? Okay, that's fine. You can take a little bit, you just go in and water it down a little bit, but you can't miss out. You can't miss out on the opportunity to say a l'chaim with a group of yidden. You can't. That's an opportunity for a bracha. It's an opportunity for achdus, and you can't miss out on that opportunity. I will say, just all kidding aside, what it also tells you is when there's an opportunity for achdus, you can't let it go. You can't let it go. There is nothing pure. I know I sound like a broken. Everybody sounds like a broken. Nothing pure in this world than achdus. Nothing better in this world than achdus. And when an opportunity for achdus presents itself, you have to take it. I will say, this is very important. This is very important. I'm going to say something now that I don't really want to talk about, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, there's like a lot of hawk about the fact that, you know, people, certain great people said not to go to the rally, right? Other statements are floating around. I will say, you're never going to agree with what everyone says. But remember, creating discord, right? Speaking negatively about someone because you don't agree with a position that they have, which you think erodes achdus, is just you eroding achdus further, right? In other words, think how counterintuitive this is. I'm unhappy that someone who's much greater than I am, right, made a statement not to do something I believe everyone should do. So I'm upset. I feel it's wrong. Okay, so what should I do? I should speak lashon hara about that person. I should speak negatively about that person. So I'm upset that I feel they're not doing their part for achdus. So instead, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to sow more seeds of discontent. I'm going to sow more seeds of discord. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. There's a way to disagree, and maybe there are mechanisms to disagree. But again, the way to disagree is never something that results in more pirud, in more disconnect. Chas v'shalom. Achdus is the most important thing in the world. The most important thing in the world. And lies, whenever there's an opportunity for it, we always have to find a way to grab onto it. So the Piaget says, let's go on. I'm sorry? Chav l'chaim. Hay l'chaim, 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 l'chaim. We make a l'chaim to all of Klal Yisrael. A l'chaim, Emir Hashem, to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. A l'chaim to the holy soldiers of the Israel Defense Forces. A l'chaim to the 240 precious neshamas being held in Gaza. A l'chaim to all of our brothers and sisters. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim. They should only know lives of bracha, of Simcha, of Yeshua, and of Geula Bekarov. L'chaim, l'chaim. We'll say paragraph Zayin. Paragraph Zayin. So look what he writes. Let's say, by the way, this is a great topic for tonight. He says, Acher shi yishtu mashke, after you have a little l'chaim, yizamru eizu zemer. Sing a little bit. Incredible, right? Incredible. Sing a little bit. So what should you sing? Shalos Orus. I will say now, he says, sing a little bit, but it's got, remember again, we spent a lot of time about music, right? Earlier on. He says, so what are you singing? It's got to be a song of his Orus. It's got to be a song of spiritual awakening. He says, Kimo Yidid Nefesh, Adon Olam, Mizmor L'David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, Uchidome. Uchidome. So we'll say, how beautiful is this? I just want to tell you something. This is the beauty of the Rebbe's Torah. Like we haven't even sat down to learn yet, right? And Baruch Hashem, what are we starting with? Alachaim, a little bit of song, right? What's happening over here? The Piagetzna understands that sometimes in order for learning to be made meaningful, what do you need to do? You need to wake up the soul a little bit. Do you ever have a teacher in school who, like, first thing in the day tells you, okay, students, stand up by your desk, and everybody do, like, 5 jumping jacks. Yeah. Right? I had a teacher like that, right? It was good. I mean, most of the people never sat back down, but that's a different discussion afterwards, right? Like, but Lamaisa, like, what the Pijanis is saying is sometimes, like, you got to get the neshama moving a little bit, right? The behemius, the animal kite that each of us possess, sometimes it just fundamentally weighs us down. And we're just like at rest and we're just stationary. So, you know, I come in, I'm like, all right, I'm here, you know, I'm engaged. And I would say, you know, if you think about it, yeah, that's right, in Dafyomi. I know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to get started, right? Why? Because, like, it's early. I'm tired. Coffee's not ready, right? And again, I have my phone right there. We should really, like, shoot, this is such a good Kabbalah, I'll say, such a good Kabbalah for Dafyomi to just turn off your phone. Just turn it off. Not put it on silent, not this or not. Unless, like, you're a physician, you're on call, or you have some other emergent situation. Like, just shut it off. Shut it off. I say, like, the biggest bracha I have is that I just get to keep it on the side of my shtender. It's not in eyesight. All right? Otherwise, if it's on, none of us have enough discipline or enough self-control to not at least look at something, whether it's the time or something else. So ultimately, the problem just is, like, I'm not necessarily spiritually awakened yet. I'm not even necessarily physically awakened yet, right? But Lamais, the Piaget says, this whole chap over here is coming, make a l'chaim, sing a little bit, wake up the neshama. Then he goes on, he says, Vim Tislaiv, page 57, Vim Tislaiv Nafsham, and if you really become spiritually awakened, then what? He says, V'yirtzu lirko yachad, yirkidu. If you want to dance a little bit, dance. You want to dance? Dance. Dance, okay. So we're making a l'chaim, we're singing some ligunim, and if you want to dance, in other words, if you feel compelled to dance, then dance. He says, ubilvad, however, he says, here's the caveat, shalal yivlu es hazman b'shtia zimra urakida bilvad. But remember, this is not a kumzitz, right? Again, it's learning. So again, you have to always be careful with these things also, right? Because again, the l'chaim is beautiful, and the singing is beautiful, and the dancing is beautiful, but these things could easily overtake everything and become an ends. But they're not, I mean, I shouldn't say that. There is a time for kumzitzing, where the singing and the l'chaims and the dancing, where that is the avoda. But that's not what he's describing over here, right? That's what he's describing over here is the creation of a meaningful atmosphere for learning. for learning. That's what's really unfolding. In other words, it's growth, but it's growth through learning. That's what's unfolding over here. What he's saying is create the atmosphere which is conducive for spiritual growth, but don't end up going ahead and using all of your time for those secondary things. Incredible. Paragraph Ches. Paragraph Ches. Makom Vadacharbiya. So listen to this. The place where the Chabura gathers. Now we'll say, this is also, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Where should the Chabura gather? Right? Where should the Chabura meet? So wherever they're going to meet, Ye'etza kol echa mehem makom akudosh. So we'll say wherever the Chabura is meeting, that place where the Chabura meets should be like hallowed sacred space. His mekomo shel olam. Listen to this beautiful Hashem, we'll say. Beis harachza lirchotz bo ulataris hanashamas. It's the place you go to ultimately again for what? To purify yourself, literally to wash yourself, and to purify your soul. So we'll say, it's really beautiful. We're going to see that the Chabura, the Vinei Machshava Tova Chabura, doesn't have to go ahead and occur necessarily in the shul or in the Beis Medrash. It could occur anywhere. But when you walk into that place where the Chabura is being held, when you walk into that place, you have to feel, his Lashon over here is so beautiful, you have to feel as if you are walking in to a sniff, as if you're walking into like, a sniff means like a branch, thank you, a branch of Gan Eden. A branch of Gan Eden. Now let's say, what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is a place of purity. Gan Eden is a place of holiness. The place where the Chabura meets is a place of purity and a place of holiness. And you have to feel that when you walk in. Yagil v'yismach libo b'chedras kodesh agolo ashro shezocha gam ba'olam hazeh li'istater tachas kanfei hashchina. And you have to rejoice in the fact that here, even though when you are in this world, you have the ability to literally go ahead and shield yourself underneath the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we're both saying, you know, sometimes like, you know, you go to a shir, or you go to a learning, a chavrusa, and you're like, okay, I'm going to the chavrusa. But I don't necessarily feel that I'm entering in to like sacred space. The Piagetna says that at the end of the day, when it comes to the Bnei Machshavot, when you go to that chabura, you should feel like you're entering into a branch of Gan Eden. Like I'm entering in to somewhere special. I'm entering into somewhere unique, a place that is going to cleanse me, a place that is going to uplift me, a place that is going to change me. It's so beautiful. He says, "Omikol shekein b'shash shenimtza bebeis havad sheyismach v'yichavin shchina kedosha besochenu v'nafshi cholas ahavasecha." It was so beautiful. And ultimately, again, when I'm in the chabur itself, I should just feel that at the end of the day, I'm in a place where the shchina is in our midst. I'm close to the Shechina. And how much will I say that phrase? Nafshi cholas avasech. Ribon Sholom, I'm lovesick for you. I'll say that's, you know, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos that a person is supposed to love Hashem the way that a man loves a woman. The same way that when a man is in love with a woman, like he yearns for her. He can't stop thinking about her. That's the way I'm supposed to fall in love with Hashem. Nafshi cholas ahavasecha. Bosh, I'm like, I'm lovesick for you. I can't get enough of you. When I'm not with you, I'm thinking about you. And when I am with you, I just want to stay with you. That's the goal I will say. Can you imagine reaching that level of nafshi cholas ahavasecha? Nafshi cholas ahavasecha. Oh no. El no refana la baharos la noam zivecha. V'yorer teshuka b'kir bo, shigal Hashem b'libo, nitzutz noam zivas v'sifars uzo, shenim tzakan. So ultimately, also, I said, this is very interesting. So here what the Piaget is pointing out is, when you come to the Chabura, a person should literally feel, as if they are entering into HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, which is an interesting idea. Because in general, the idea, I will say, if you think about it, when do we have like a concept of entering into the Shechina? Right? From where do we see the concept of entering into the Shechina? Where do you see that concept? Good. Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, ultimately, again, by Har Sinai. Right? Har Sinai is engulfed by the cloud, and the cloud is the Ribono Shalolam. Moshe Rabbeinu enters into the cloud. There's a concept of entering into the Ribono Shalolam. So I'll say, so generally, when we speak about this concept of entering into the Ribono Shalolam, where do we assume that happens? Where does that happen?
The holiest of
holies. Right? The Beis HaMikdash. And in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, Havai, we should have our third Beis HaMikdash, here, Rabbi Aminu. Here. Here. In a shul, right? What's a shul? A shul is a mikdash ma'at. This is, when I come here, I enter into the Ribono Shalom. That's what happens. But the Piaget says, yeah?
Isn't the
Mishma,
that's very, saying the Shemsa value moving up three steps?
You're entering into a dialogue. You're entering into a dialogue with God. I'm talking about something even greater than a dialogue. I'm entering into HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Right? Dialogue is very hard. So entering in, not speaking to, entering into the Shekhinah. Like Moshe Rabbeinu went up into the cloud. When you come into a shul, that's what I'll say, that's the power of davening in a shul. In other words, why don't they just daven in my basement? I guess some people do daven in their basements, right? People die, right? So why not daven in the basement? Very simple, because again, why should I daven in a basement when I could come to a shul and enter into the Shekhinah? That of course I want to enter into the Shekhinah. That's what I want to do. It's not just about davening. It's about entering into the Ribono Shalom. That's what I want. So what's incredible over here is the Piagetsna says that entry into the Shekhinah doesn't just occur in a shul. It also occurs in this Chabura. Now what's the pshat, right? Why doesn't the Piagetsna say that it occurs by Daf Yomi, or it occurs by Amid Yomi, or it occurs by Parashat Shira, or Smichas Chaver? Why is it Dafke here? Because I will say, if you notice, we're going to learn this more in greater depth, but the yisod of the B'nei Machshava Tova Chabura, the yisod of this Chabura, is much more than just about learning, right? It's also about connection. It's about the L'chaim. It's about the Achdus. It's about the singing. It's about the dancing. It's about people joining together in a concrete, formalized process of growth. When you have a chever of Jews who are holding on to each other in an effort to simultaneously come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where the Shekhinah is. That's where the Shekhinah is. So wherever this Chabura is, the Piaget says, just understand, when you go to the Chabura, when you enter, say, by the way, the Chabura is in someone's house. Someone's house, right? Somebody's hosting the Chabura this week. It's in someone's house. Well, the members of the Chabura go into the house for the purpose of this Chabura. The Shekhinah's there. The Shekhinah's there. You're walking into the Shekhinah. And if you're walking into the Shekhinah, by the way, there's an unparalleled level of closeness. Once you're inside of the Shekhinah itself, tefillos are different, learning is different, everything becomes fundamentally different. So I think we'll... All right, we have... Yes.
Do you have to have a minyan for that to happen?
Oh, so we're going to talk about this. No.
Good question.
No. This doesn't... Although he does bring down about the concept, we'll talk about the concept of davening. In this group also, but no, it does not require a minion. We're going to see it does require a certain number of people, but it's not a minion. It's not a minion, which is interesting. So this is not like a, as I'm saying, it's not a din in like a minion for tefillah or something like that. It's a din in a group of people who are united in an effort for solid growth that is mapped out in a very specific, highly choreographed way. When that happens, the Shekhinah is there. Shekhinah is there. So we'll say, you know, I'll read one more line, then we'll start. All right, well, we'll just go another minute, then we're going to dive more at 10 to 9. So listen to this. Paragraph tests. Go and make some good movement today. Not really, but all right. Good, test. Thank you. If I say it enough, I begin to believe. We're doing great, guys. I'll read this line, and then I'm going to leave you off with this tonight, because this is going to be a very impactful piece we're going to do next week. The Chabura really rests on three pillars. Three pillars. What are the three pillars? Al eschabrus chaverim, connection between friends. Al avas chaverim, love of friends. Val his dabkus chaverim, and clinging to friends. Now I will say, now here's what's interesting. One and three sound very similar, right? So there's his chabrus, a chibur is connection of friends, love of friends, and ultimately again, his dabkus, a connection. Right? Or, a clinging to friends. So we'll say, so he says, Lachain, this is incredible. He says, Lachain, Hagam Shekulam Yischabru Yachab Avas Chaverim, Ubekulam Yavuzela Ze Avaraba, Mikamakom. Okay, so you know what I'm going to say? We're going to stop with this. Because this piece is a whole other world that is actually absolutely fantastic. I'm going to say this. What we're going to start with next week, paragraph test, actually is probably one to make the argument the most primary benefit of the Chabura, of the interpersonal relationships. Yes?
I might as well just come out and say it. Well, are we going to stop to share Thanksgiving?
Next week is Thanksgiving. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. I thought it's the last Thursday in November.
No, it's the third Thursday in November.
Third Thursday of November.
It's Motzi. It's Motzi.
Yeah. Is the Chevra going to be? Are people here Thanksgiving?
I mean, I'm here. I don't know if we'll be at dinner. I should be here.
If you have it, people will come, I'm sure.
Okay. If I build it, they'll come? If I build it, they'll come?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Adjust
the menu.
Yeah, let's see. What are we?
I can bring leftover turkey.
Mamish.
Rabbi.
To Plymouth? You're going back to Plymouth?
I'm going to Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right, Chevra, again. Good. Stay tuned. I'd like to have Shir, but stay tuned. I'll put out a poll. I like polls. I do like polls. All right, Chevra. My Rav in the shul.
I'll cook if you allow turkey and cranberry stuff.